You're listening to SBS News.
The World Economic Forum is normally held in person, but with COVID-19 case numbers still rising, participants are meeting online to hold a panel discussion on how the pandemic has impacted global trade. The key message of the event is dissecting how COVID-19 has changed global commerce. The group chairman is Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem.
And today, I would say, if today the pandemic is over, still we will need the whole of this year and next year to go back to normal, in my opinion.
The effect on global commerce is being felt in supply chain bottlenecks and in surging demand on overwhelmed factories and ports, which have driven up prices and delayed shipments, forcing businesses to rethink their reliance on distant suppliers. One example can be found in Uganda. Long-distance truck drivers have been stranded for days at the Kenyan-Uganda border. Drivers like Damien Mavu, who has spent 3 nights in a traffic jam, say that 2 tests at either side of the border aren't necessary and they are just causing traffic problems.
When we test for COVID in Kenya and get a certificate from Kenya, when we cross to Uganda, we are forced to test again and pay. So that has become a challenge, because why are you supposed to pay and you have already tested in Kenya, or what is the difference between the equipment they are using to test in Kenya and Uganda? That is what we are yet to understand.
Back at the World Economic Forum meeting, there are concerns that the incentive to bring production closer to home to avoid these supply issues will potentially cause countries to turn inward and cut out foreign suppliers. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, Director General of the World Trade Organization, has told the forum protectionist responses to supply chain issues and demand on shipping could undermine the economies of developing countries.
Of course, if you look at the other multilateral institutions, the IMF, the World Bank, they also have a lot to do with trade. And their issues of the infrastructure for trade for many of the developing countries whom we want to be part of this multilateral trading system is very important. Access to trade finance is very important.
COVID-19 cases are continuing to surge across the globe, disrupting not just commerce but everyday activities like politics. Portugal has officially reported more than 56,000 new daily cases of COVID-19, a new record due to the Omicron variant. With a general election fast approaching on the 30th of January, Portugal's government has just announced people infected with COVID can cast their ballots at polling stations, as officials struggle to square the right to vote with the duty to protect public health. But it is recommending that they vote only in a 6 to 7pm time slot, when polling stations are traditionally less busy. Justice and Interior Minister Francisca van Dunham spoke to reporters after the cabinet meeting.
As you know, we cannot change the electoral law, and so the government can only act in what is their legislative right. In doing so, it created an exception so that people under confinement can go out on the 30th January to exercise their right to vote, and obviously this should apply only during the necessary amount of time needed to do so.
Education is also bearing the brunt of COVID-19. In Algeria, schools will be closed for 10 days to combat a spike in infections. The country is battling against both the Delta variant and the fast-spreading Omicron variant, with doctors describing the situation as alarming. Health officials reported a daily record of 1,359 Omicron cases and 12 deaths. But Mustafa Kayati, a doctor and president of a National Health Foundation, says that the true numbers of cases are much higher.
A large number of people do not have significant signs, and therefore they have not deemed it useful to get biological tests. And other people were deterred by the PCR or antigen tests. In all the cases, the figures are much more important than those given officially.
The coronavirus is also disrupting schools in France. Some 200 teachers and parents gathered outside the Sorbonne University in central Paris to protest against rule changes issued by an education minister. Many directed their anger at Jean-Michel Blanquer, after it emerged that he was on holiday in Ibiza when he announced last-minute virus-related rules in a newspaper interview. The minister has defended his actions, but Parent Teacher Association President Ghislaine Morvan de Bois says his statements don't address how COVID-19 protocols and cases are disturbing classes.
Our children are still not at school. Schools are officially open, but our children are stuck at home because they're either sick or were in close contact. Their teachers are also sick and are not being replaced. The French government is not providing the necessary means for students to go to school normally. Last week, authorities changed the rules on testing school children twice.
France is the epicentre of Europe's current fight against COVID-19, with new infections topping 430,000 a day this week, driven by the highly contagious Omicron variant. Its so-called vaccine passport will come into effect next week, whereby full vaccination will be needed to enter restaurants and bars, cinemas, theatres and other leisure and sport facilities, and to take inter-regional trains and domestic flights. Austria is also toughening its stance on vaccinations. Roughly 72% of the population is fully vaccinated against COVID-19, one of the lowest rates in Western Europe. To boost coverage, Austria's parliament has just voted to introduce a strict COVID-19 vaccine mandate for adults from February the 1st, the first of its kind on the continent. The mandate will compel all residents of Austria aged 18 and over to get the jab, unless someone is pregnant, has a medical reason for not getting the shot, or has recovered from a coronavirus infection in the past 6 months. Some in the parliament have described the measure as authoritarian, but Health Minister Wolfgang Muckstein says the mandate is needed.
If we want to escape the cycle of opening up and closing down and the lockdowns, then we need this law and an end to the hard measures for protection against corona. I think we all wish for that.
Coronavirus is also still placing significant strain on hospital systems. In the United States, some states are looking to deploy National Guard personnel to supplement hospital personnel who are either sick or isolating because of COVID-19. Seven Army National Guard soldiers have been assigned to West Valley Hospital in Dallas, Oregon, and this hospital official says they are grateful for the assistance.
We also have 10 open staffing positions, open nursing positions, just within my two departments. And there's 15 departments within this hospital. So not only are we seeing higher volumes, we're also having some issues with staffing. So those are all reasons why having you guys here with us is so incredibly important.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Deborah Grook, SBS News. We'll be right back.